Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, from Mission Viejo, California. Val, you've told us one or two lessons that you've learned in your 17 years of marriage. Let's go back before, long before, you met Walt Shepherd, and talk a little bit about what it was like growing up without a father.
I really don't remember anything that bad about growing up without a father, because my mother, Mama, you had given me so many good descriptions of my father, and you had told me truthfully exactly what he had done to go to the Alca Indians and that he had gone to heaven, that I always had a good impression of him, and I never remember feeling resentful. A lot of people ask me if I am ever resentful that I didn't have a father. I never remember feeling that way. I do remember just a few times watching other girls' fathers and wishing that I had one, but it wasn't a huge problem in my emotional life. You taught me everything that I felt like I needed to know, and I'm sure it would have been wonderful even more so to have a father, but I had such a happy childhood, I don't remember ever thinking it was that big a trouble not to have a father.
You say a happy childhood. Some people would think you were very deprived. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that childhood was like and where?
Well, I was born in Ecuador, and we lived with jungle Indians, two different tribes, until I was 8 years old. And my life was very simple and very carefree. I had no materialism to fight against. There were no affluent people around me. The Indians had just their houses and their little gardens and the river, and that was it. And I remember being perfectly happy to play with the Indian children all day long, either in the river or in the forest. And I think of it as an idyllic childhood because I see my own children and the many things that call for their attention and call for their desires, and they have to struggle against it because we say no to much of what they want. And I think of how my childhood didn't even have the temptations that my children have. So anyway, my childhood was not deprived. We went to New Hampshire when I was 8 years old, and we lived in the country. I went to a little small public school and had a pretty good public school education, I think, through all the way through high school. But I remember when my mother remarried the second time, she married Addison Leach, and I remember being very happy because she was happy. And
you were how old when I got married?
I was 13. Mm-hmm.
So from the time you were 13 until you were, what, almost 18?
18.
18.
When my stepfather died.
You had a father figure in your life, for which we were both very grateful.
Very thankful.
We? Mm-hmm. Now, jumping again to your husband, you do have one very important thing in common with him, that he also grew up on a mission field.
Yes, his parents were missionaries in Zaire. It was called the Congo back then, and he was not born there, but he went there shortly before he was 2 years old, and he stayed there till he was 15. He loved where he grew up, and he had a very different kind of adjustment to American culture when he moved to the States at 15 years old than I did at the age of 8. I think I adjusted pretty easily into American culture, but he had a much different and a harder time of it.
He speaks what, Chiluba?
He speaks an African dialect called Chiluba.
Mm-hmm. And you remember the two languages that you spoke?
I spoke Alca and Quechua, but I don't remember the languages now.
What do you say, Val, to people who claim that they can't possibly form any image of God as their father because either they didn't have a father or they had a very bad father?
Well, I would say to those who had a very bad father, just to steep themselves in the scriptures and learn what it says about what the good Heavenly Father is all about. But for those who didn't have a father at all, I think much of it depends on what the mother's attitude was towards the father's disappearance, whether it was through death or through divorce. And if the mother is angry and resentful at the father's being gone, or even if he had died, that's going to form the children's attitude towards their father. Again, steeping yourself in the scripture and what the good Heavenly Father is like is most important. But like I said, I was not ever resentful. I was thankful that my father had gone to do what he believed to be the will of God. And I have even had pleasant dreams about my father as an adult, even as recently as a year ago. Just once in a great while, I'll have a dream about meeting him again and being able to talk to him as an adult. And they've always been very happy dreams, so I've always looked forward to meeting him in heaven.
I didn't realize you'd ever dreamed mm-hmm. about him. I remember you telling me when you were maybe 3 or 4 years old that you dreamed about having a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that made me cry to think that my poor little girl was going to have to grow up as an only child. But all your friends were Indians, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
never thought about being deprived
no.
in any way, nor was Walt deprived for having grown up in
oh, no.
Africa. Was it jungle?
He was in the bush, but there they could get to the jungle, and he absolutely loved his childhood. He really looks back on it with such fondness that, you know, he would love to go back to that particular mission field just because he loved it so much.
Back to this question of what one says to those who say that they can't form an image of God as their father, it helps me to think of the fact that God is everything that they missed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't have an idea of what a bad father is unless you know what a good father is. The only reason people can say, well, I had a rotten father, is because they know what a good father should have been to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always say, well, God is everything
mm-hmm.
that you wanted
right.
and missed.
Right, and I think because God allowed my father to be taken away, he helped you to do whatever needed to be done for my security and for my happiness. So that's why I feel like I never felt like I was deprived or the least bit resentful that I didn't have a father. And God knows, because he allowed that to happen, he knows exactly what the children and the mother will need.
He has absolutely promised to meet our every need, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. I go back mm-hmm. to that simple verse in Philippians 4 over and over again. My God shall supply all your
needs.
A mother thinks that her child needs a father, and mm-hmm. that's perfectly logical and natural and human. But if God, for his own sovereign reasons, mm-hmm. takes the father,
mm-hmm.
then he has got to, in his own ways, help the mother and help the children to do without the actual father there.
Right.
You mentioned your stepfather, Ad mm-hmm. Leach, Addison mm-hmm. Leach. Would you tell us a bit about your relationship with him mm-hmm. when you were 13?
I remember you telling my mama that he was a little nervous and insecure that I wouldn't like him. But I remember liking him immediately. I remember feeling comfortable with him because he made me feel at ease, and he was a humble man. I remember his humility, and I remember his sense of humor most of all. I was always thrilled with any stories that he had to tell, and I look back now on my 4.5 years when he was my stepfather and wish that I'd learned more from him, because I know he had a great deal of wisdom to give. And I remember asking one time, what is predestination? And he said, well, how much time do you have? And I didn't have very much time to learn.
He was a theologian and a philosopher.
Yes.
Was that the end of that, or did he give you a
He probably gave me a good explanation. And again, like I said, I wish that I had spent more time just learning, sitting at his feet and learning, because I was a carefree teenager and off to do my own fun things. And he was great at just sitting and enjoying talking, and was a great conversationalist. And when we did go to hear him preach, he preached in different churches when we moved to Massachusetts as visiting preacher. And when we did go to hear him, I thoroughly enjoyed his sermons. I remember one little thing he used to do that was fun for me, and if he had any extra change in his pocket, he would just give it to me. Here's some extra change.
You like that. I remember one of the first things you said after I told you that I was going to marry this man. You said, "Well, Mama, what will I call him?" And I said, "What would you like to call him?" And you said, do you remember?
No, I don't.
You said, I'd like to call him Daddy. Mm-hmm. Would he mind? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I think he would be thrilled. So you you called him Daddy without any problem because you, of course, had never had anybody else to call Daddy. You didn't remember your own father, Jim Elliot.
Another thing my stepfather did was to teach me how to drive when I was 16. Of course, I took the regular driver's ed course, but then I had to learn in his car, this brand new car that he had bought for my mother, how to drive. And he was a very good driver himself, and I remember feeling a little nervous that I wouldn't learn the right things, but I did. And he took me over to the school parking lot, and I just remember that with fondness, that he took the time patiently to teach me how to drive it.
I remember one of his remarks, which is typical of his sense of humor. He said, I sure hope Val doesn't wreck that car. He said, I'm not worried about Val, but I sure don't want to fill out those insurance papers. Well, thank you so much. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Elliott Shepherd.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.